WK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. The big holiday getaway has begun. Marissa's among the millions already on their way to their Thanksgiving destination.
I wanted to maximize my time with my family. I get kind of 2 weekends here, so a lot of time to see my family and my friends.
But the weather could impact travel. Nearly a foot and a half of rain was dumped on parts of California this week. CBS's Kayla Moeller is in Yuba County.
The downpour posing problems for many.
The yard's backing up. It's like becoming a river, and it doesn't look like it's ending.
Tim and Julie didn't see their chickens in their usual spot. That's when they realized the water was coming up.
They're like, hey, we need to get through, and there's a river. They don't know what to do.
More top jobs are being filled in Washington. Here's CBS's Nicole Skenga.
President-elect Donald Trump says he'll nominate Scott Bessent, a billionaire investor and hedge fund manager, to run the U.S. Treasury Department. As Treasury Secretary, Bessent could help shape the financial markets and the incoming president's approach to trade tariffs.
Meanwhile, unions are gearing up for the new administration.
Union power!
Unions are preparing to flex their muscle once President-elect Donald Trump takes office, and that likely means more strikes.
I'm thinking we're going to see more of these actions.
Matias Campos is a union executive with the University Professional and Technical Employees at UC San Francisco. He says there's already a movement in labor to line up expiration dates for union contracts.
If needed, there could be a nationwide general strike between multiple industries.
Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
In the Gaza Strip. Palestinian sources say Israeli military strikes have killed at least 120 Palestinians over the last 48 hours and even hit a hospital. Meanwhile, Russia launched a new experimental missile at Ukraine. CBS's Charlie Daggett has details.
The missile's range puts the entire country of Ukraine within reach. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the new missile cannot be intercepted by defense systems supplied by the U.S. or any Western ally. He's warned that he will deploy that weapon again.
The L.A. Dodgers Foundation's hosted its annual Thanksgiving turkey giveaway. Pitcher Landon Knack was among the players helping those in need.
It's great to be able to give back to the community, especially a community that supports us as hard as the Dodger fans do. And kind of being able to get out here, kind of have that one-on-one, be able to give back a little bit. It feels really good.
They gave away free turkeys to 1,500 families. And along with the birds, they also threw in all the traditional fixings as well. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. November is Military Family Appreciation Month, and moving from military service into the workforce can be a tough transition, both for the service member and their family. Simone Perez reports.
About 200,000 service members a year transition from active duty to civilian life, and many experience rescinded offers, underemployment, or inadequate preparation for their transition. Jonathan Pride from NPower, an organization that provides skill training to veterans and their families, says uncertainty is one of their biggest challenges in the transition.
A lot of the time, it's the only job they've ever had, and so they don't know how their skills will translate on the other side with corporations and partners and employers. Trying to translate their skills and their experiences into a resume, I think, is one of the hardest things.
The National Veterans Training Institute found that veteran unemployment dropped by more than 3% in 2023. But Pride says veterans also run into what he calls the paper ceiling, a barrier that keeps workers without college degrees from getting higher wage jobs. Given the frequency of moves, service members often don't finish their schooling in one place. Price says many times they leave the military with some college or maybe a couple classes away from a degree.
When an employer has a paper ceiling in place where the minimum expectation is a college degree, sometimes that disqualifies many qualified veterans and veteran spouses who could do very well in these roles, but because they don't have a college degree, they're barred from entry into that employer.
Pride says NPower looks past the degree requirements to work directly with employers to place veterans in apprenticeships. That way they can learn on the job, pursue an education, and earn a paycheck. I'm Simone Perez. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of clouds and a high near 43. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 35. Mostly cloudy and a high near 50 for Sunday. Sunday night, slight chance of rain, a low around 42. And rain is likely for Monday with a high near 49.
Right now, 35.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, former Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels turns down a Trump cabinet position. Is he lazy or just against divesting? Also, MTG claims subpoena power. Who's she coming after? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
November 23rd, 2024. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha, Hour 2. I'm your host, the unsinkable Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios in Radio Park on Victory Avenue. And very pleased to have my neighbor and good friend from our beloved Banting Park, Ron Gulotta, interim dean at UWM at Waukesha. And Ron has gathered some friends of the university, both students and members of faculty. That's Margaret Millspaugh, now with Madison College. And Ann Mitchell Moore, who's the instructor of communications and theater arts there at UWM Waukesha. And they're here to share memories about the school's 58-year history now that it'll be closing in 2025, but also to promote Corby's Last Roar, a celebration that'll take place on Thursday, May 22nd. Right now it's 4 to 8 p.m., but we're going to add an asterisk to that because Ron's going to lobby hard to maybe push that back an hour or two so that people can come and share memories and celebrate. We know there'll be food, possibly pancakes, in honor of the pancake study tradition. But I'm sure there'll be some other food items. There'll be some music, some presentations. I'm sure there'll be some reference to a distinguished speaker series that they had started that's also been a great tradition there and really helped put the college on the map. And before the break, I believe it was Ann was talking about the benefit of the flexibility that colleges like UWM Waukesha offer, that unlike the four-year experience where maybe you have to commit to a major by sophomore year, in those first years at a good two-year program like UWM Waukesha, there's flexibility to see what you like and what you don't like and maybe mold a more promising future. And and if you don't mind continuing or kind of even picking up where you left off or even just doing a little recap to get people caught up, I'd really appreciate that.
Well, I think the example that I was giving was that my brother had originally decided or thought that he had decided that he was going to come here to save money for 2 years and then transfer to UWM, but then found out that the program that was really going to benefit him was at Whitewater. And so if he had not had that time to think, so that's what he said yesterday when I called him. He said, UW Waukesha gave me the gift of time. He's like, at 18, who really knows exactly what they want to do with 100% certainty? Yeah. And he was able to take some classes, get those general studies out of the way. And then the cool thing was, if you got your associate's degree in total, when you transfer to a four-year, another four-year within the system, all of your gen eds were automatically satisfied. So it gave you a leg up when you were transferring, and it was easier to slide into the program that you wanted to. So it allowed some exploration. I know myself as a student here, I changed my major 3 times before I settled. And I don't know if I would have had the luxury to do that because I bounced from physics to art to English to communication. So if I had gone right to a four-year institution, I might not have had the finances to be able to do that or the time to be able to do that. So
all excellent points. And, another thing, too, is we know where a lot of the local two-year colleges have a benefit is with the relationships with local employers and that they're actually very strong feeder programs because the academic offerings are aligned with the vocational training. And so it's just an easy match. And was that also a benefit or one of the strong advantages of UW and Waukesha, would you say?
I would think one of the advantages about being local and being a small school is that as you're promoting it in other ways, it's local, it's community grown. But, and so it's serving a very local population that wants to stay close to home. But one of the other big advantages is by being a small institution, we gave our students a chance to grow in ways that they couldn't grow at a larger institution. Those skills turn over rather quickly into their adult lives, and that be work or community. So they connected right away with things in their community and stayed connected over time. One of the stories that I hear often revolves around student workers and how different the student worker experience at Waukesha has been from larger universities and institutions. Colleagues at larger institutions, I have heard for years, gripe and complain about student workers. They really don't do anything. They sit around, they collect a paycheck, and they don't do anything. And then I hear from other colleagues about our former student workers who go on to another school and how impressed they are that our student workers are ready to step in day one and do things. They have a good work ethic, but they have a great skill about what work is about and what sort of a professional attitude is to work. So I think we give that experience as well. We've also over the years given students, as my colleagues here in the room with me have expressed, opportunities in a wide range of things, theater, sports, music. Over the years, going back to the 60s and 70s, UW Waukesha had its own radio station, and a strong tradition there. There was a TV studio in the building at one point. We've had very strong theater arts program, plays and musicals. From the late 2000s through up to pandemic, we had 10 straight years of great summer musicals that we did with the community. So we've given students opportunities to grow in lots of different areas.
Yeah.
And it's local. It pulls from the greater Southeast community and most broadly around Waukesha.
Sure.
It gives people a chance to do things and to still stay at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all great points. I can really appreciate that. And because Margaret Milspa, who's now with Madison College, where you're at currently, what are some of the aspects of your UWM Waukesha experience that you see, I guess, manifest themselves on the current campus? Or what would you say, without getting in trouble with your employers, maybe missing from, from your student and I guess as a, staff member experience?
Right. Madison College is a wonderful place, a super diverse population. It's large though, it's big. And I think that's one of the things about the Waukesha campus. It was, even at our height, when we were a little over, you know, 2000 students, it still felt small and community. And, you know, many students were able to fit in and feel comfortable. They weren't overwhelmed. Everybody was doing the same thing. They all commuted into campus. Whereas, you know, Madison College has that too. I think that gives every student coming on campus kind of, you know, the same footing. You know, I would, as a student when I was here, I had many students that other students with me that were traditional age, but many of them were, you know, going out in the community and they were working, they were, you know, taking care of siblings. So, you know, not so different, you know, from myself. And, you know, it was easy to fit in and feel comfortable. And to kind of take off on what Ron was saying about our students, you know, we fit into the community a little bit different. Our students are here, they're working here currently while they're going to school. And I think they give back to the community like right away. Like they don't wait for that 2 years. They're, you know, they're transferring their skills that they're getting right away, that critical thinking, that very curious cool. nature, you know, all of that, they're getting it right away and they're using it. So yeah, I think I love that, you know, the 2 year campus, you know, that's, you know, is so grounded in my education, and to see how many people have thrived from it. And yeah, I love that it continues. And yeah, I think really the only thing, you know, Madison has some, Madison College has a few like satellite campuses, and they're great because they still give some of that small community. But yeah, if you can get that really just like tight, close-knit, you know, feeling like family just about, you know, that's, I think, huge.
Yeah, I think that's missing from a lot of the bigger four-year schools. Now, I went to a big time. I went to Michigan State, that we'd call a small school. But I was in a program for my major. I was a dual major, and within the, it was called James Madison College. It was a residential college within the university where the student body was like 1,000 students. And so I had that small liberal arts college experience surrounded by a Big Ten campus, and it was great. I mean, I had classes throughout the campus, you know, my required classes, econ and all those other things. But for my core classes, by the time I was a senior, the student teacher ratio was like 12, sometimes 6 to 1. So it was a really rich experience. And even in those first 2 years, it was like 25 to 1. Now you would have those large auditorium lectures where you'd have like 300 in. But those were also a different art form, too. Those were also a great academic experience, especially when they are supported by these sectional classes where a teacher's assistant would lead the discussion and help answer questions and explain what was discussed in the lecture. And so, again, I kind of had the best of both worlds. But I know so many stories of people that they didn't know what they wanted to do after high school, and their parents talked them into at least doing a year of junior community college. And then they ended up sticking around 2 years, and they ended up either getting placed into a great job or going to a great four-year university. But we're going to dig deeper into some of these great memories at UWM Waukesha, as well as talk about how people can support and participate in Corby's Last Roar on May 22nd, 2025, a celebration of UWM Waukesha's 58 years here serving our community. And so much more. And we'll have the Carroll Minute next, as well as some city news here in This Week in Waukesha on WUK 540 AM. And don't forget the Civic Media app. Download it so you can take all the great programming anywhere you go. Give it up. Share it out. Yeah. Help who you can. I know that you can. Talk about it. Talk about it. Oh, give it up. Share it out. Help who you can. Don't just a new choice. Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah,
That was a lot better than the original person.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM and the Civic Media app. And that was the band Guards with Silver Lining, a song that many of you college football fans have heard, especially when a Big Ten team is playing. They do a promotional commercial. It's an animated map of the Big Ten campuses throughout the country. And now that it's gone from coast to coast, kind of cool. I know it's upset a lot of people, but we're going to get a lot more local with our college football discussion, and that's the Carroll University Pioneers were victorious in their season finale last Saturday with a 27-7 triumph over Carthage at the Schneid last Saturday, as I said, and taking back the old musket from the Firebirds. I was broadcasting the game last year, and it was a big upset victory for the Firebirds and a very disappointing loss for the Pios. But to their credit, some key players were not allowed to play in that game because of some rules violations. And you know, that's the kind of guy Coach Buddha is. You know, does it by the book, and that's why they've had a lot of success there. It's, you know, 4 years in a row without a losing season, 6-4 in their first 2 years, 5-5 in their last 2 years, which is really, it's more of a comment on how competitive the CCIW is, very much like the WIAC. It's really one of the toughest conferences in the country. The number one team in the country the last 4 years is in the CCIW. That's North Central. And there's a couple other nationally ranked teams. And so, but they got a great thing going on there, and it's fun. After finishing the 2024 season with a 5-5 record, Carroll's football team received 5 all-conference selections Tuesday morning, as released by the CCIW. Tight end Reed Breckheimer, who had a great year offensively. Offensive lineman Kevin Whitman, one of my favorite human beings, used to work with my son at Home Depot. Another one, punter Noah Streveler, were each named CCIW first team offense, while defensive lineman Riley Staub and linebacker Will Campbell, winner of the John Anderson Award in high school, each landed on the CCIW's second team defense. So congrats to all of them. Great young men, a great program there. I wish I had more time to go deeper into their accolades, but there'll be other, maybe we'll have some of these guys on future shows. So, but we're going to jump to the, and also Tim Nelson, defensive lineman, was named the CCIW Respect Award, which each team gets to pick one player for the kind of just great all-around team player that they are. So congrats to Tim as well. The nation's 21st-ranked women's basketball team, that's Carroll University, they were victorious again last night with an 85-34 win over Olivet. Senior All-American Olivia Ranhell led all piles with 15 points, followed by 12 from Natalie Grisius and 10 from Emily Wiz Wisner. So they advanced to 3-1. With last night's win. Their only loss came to a nail biter last Saturday night to top ranked UW Whitewater. That game followed the men's game, which followed the Pios win over Carthage. So it was a very fun sports day over at the campus there at Carroll University. And, you know, with my guests from UWM Waukesha, Ron Gulata, Margaret Millspaugh, and Ann Mitchell Moore, all very cool names, especially Ann Mitchell Moore. No wonder she's in theater now. But I could see a little smoke coming out of Ron's ears. Like, where's the UWM Waukesha minute, Don? I mean, we've known each other how many years? And yes, I've got mud on my face that, you know, we've had a great 58-year tradition. And so I think one thing I can commit to in the final weeks is we should have our own little segment for you, what's going on at UWM Waukesha on future shows. So counting on you, Ron, and the rest of the team to give me some little bits, especially as we're planning for Corby's Last Roar. Let's make that a big blowout. maybe kind of like some of those parties you saw in Animal House. Could we get a little crazy there? Or is that you can't endorse that as interim dean?
Well,
although what do you have to lose? It's your last year. Sure. What are they going to do? Sure. Fire you?
Right.
So,
while you're on that, I'll share with folks if they're interested. We have a tiny URL that people can go to that will give them a chance to leave their contact information so that we can keep in touch about future details. And it also gives them a chance. We're looking for people to leave us stories and pictures of their time at UW Waukesha. So that tiny URL is tinyurl.com/Corby's Last Roar, C-O-R-B-Y-S.
Corby with a C.
C. Corby's Last Roar, just one long word.
Sounds so great. And hate to do this to you. Do you mind repeating that again for the benefit of our listeners?
Sure. So that's a tinyurl.com/Corby's Last Roar. CORBYSLASTROAR.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for doing that. And I do encourage everybody that has a connection, or even if you don't, I think it's something that we should all celebrate as a community, because we've all, it is fair to say, and anyone can chime in, that anyone who's lived in Waukesha has been impacted positively by what UWM Waukesha has contributed to our community.
One of the things we've done over the years to kind of highlight some of our impact in the local community and the larger community is that we have a awarding of a distinguished or outstanding alum. And some of our outstanding alums from the past have been gone on to great things in politics, such as former county executive for Waukesha County, Paul Varakis, who's a UW Waukesha grad.
That's right.
Local district attorney and Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel. Nice. Was a distinguished alum from here. Former county executive in Madison, Kathleen Falk, was one of our first distinguished alums. And we've had distinguished alums from who've gone on to do some very spectacular things in medicine and business and a variety of other endeavors locally and nationally. We just honored one of our distinguished alums from this last year. Is a very important member of the team at Ladd Lake, the residential center for youth and young adults who need some help getting their lives back in order. So shout out to Grover for winning his outstanding alum, Grover Scanlon. So we've got quite a tradition of folks who've done some very distinguishing things in our community, and probably thousands and thousands of stories about folks whose lives were launched here. So we're hoping to celebrate that in our last year.
I appreciate you sharing that. And I have a feeling that there may be a couple alumni working with WillDeck, a longtime manufacturer in Waukesha, and they have a new facility in downtown that everyone's encouraged to check out. You take a look inside, discover the mezzanine products that are proudly crafted right there in downtown Waukesha. So be sure to check them out. And it's WillDeck, WILDECK, if you want to look them up online. But I got to tour one of their original facilities off of 164, and it's Waukesha has a great manufacturing tradition here, and I'm sure UWM Waukesha has contributed great employees in that effort, in addition to the arts and all these other segments that Ron's mm-hmm. mentioned. And so much more. The conversation continues as we get ready for Corby's Last Roar at UWM Waukesha in May of 2025. Here on This Week in Waukesha, 540 AM and the Civic Media app. Do not go away.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A whole lot of people are hitting the road or the airports for the Thanksgiving holiday already.
We've definitely traveled on Thanksgiving or the day before, and yeah, sometimes it can be chaos. So yeah, try to avoid it.
A record number of travelers are expected. 31 million will fly somewhere for the holiday. AAA says they expect nearly 72 million will drive. Storms on both coasts could impact that travel. Parts of California are dealing with flooding and landslides following the bomb cyclone that dumped a foot and a half of rain this week on the region. Sarah Henry with the city of Alameda says there are sandbags for residents who need them.
So it's 5 per person, and hopefully people adhere to that because we want to make sure we have enough for everybody.
Israeli airstrikes across Gaza. Palestinian sources say at least 120 Palestinians over the last 48 hours. They hit a hospital as well. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Big changes for the Packers game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the 49ers tomorrow, kickoff at 3:25. We told you Jair Alexander and rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper are out with injuries for this game, but the 49ers will be without their top pass rusher, Nick Bosa, and quarterback Brock Purdy, who injured his right shoulder against the Seahawks and couldn't finish practice on Thursday, so that means that backup Brandon Allen will start at quarterback, who's been with the Jaguars, the Broncos, and the Rams, Matt LaFleur.
I mean, I know Brandon. I was with him in LA. He's been in the league now a long time, but I wouldn't expect their offense to change a whole bunch.
College football, Wisconsin at Nebraska today. We'll have a full recap tonight. Basketball, the Bucks with a 129-117 win over the Pacers.
They're an excellent offensive team. I thought our defense was phenomenal tonight. We turned the ball over, you know, and then we caught ourselves, but that's the most locked in that I've seen us defensively.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of clouds and a high near 43. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 35. Mostly cloudy and a high near 50 for Sunday. Sunday night, slight chance of rain, a low around 42. And rain is likely for Monday with a high near 49.
Right now, 35.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of Civic Media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
It's Thanksgiving week, and I've got a special guest, Professor Bill Whitford, the named plaintiff in the Supreme Court gerrymandering case out of Wisconsin, joins us. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
and somehow I know there's something that can stop us now.
Hey, we're back in this week's Walk Shot. For regular listeners, you've heard this one before from one of my favorite artists, Little Steven, who for many of you pop culture fans was Silvio on the Consigliere, if you will, or the Capo Regime on The Sopranos, but was a great musical artist and a great documentary about him, I believe on HBO called Disciple. I encourage everyone to check that out. He's not only was the lead guitarist for Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, but wrote a lot of great music for The Boss and for bands like Southside Johnny, and even performed way back with Dion and the Belmonts, and that's where his other nickname, Miami Steve, came from. But my guess, I know we have a caller, Triple G's on, so hang on one second, Greg, but my guest, Ron Gulotta, interim dean at UWM Waukesha, and his team, if you will, Margaret Millspaugh and Ann Mitchell Moore, love saying that name, are here to promote Corby's Last Call, Last Roar, excuse me, on May 22nd, Thursday, May 22nd, 2025, to celebrate the school's 58-year legacy before they close. And Ron, I'm going to put a pin in that. I'm going to feed this question, then it'll give you a chance to think about it, and we'll take Greg's call. But as I know from Ron, from us being neighbors and also being part of a common faith community, that Ron has a lovely singing voice. He's quite the crooner. And maybe does he have something planned musically as part of the soiree, a possible performance? But we'll kind of, you know, give you a chance to feed on that while we Greg, are you there? Triple G? Talk to me, Goose.
Yes. Hey.
Good morning, John, Greg.
How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
And guess.
And guess.
Hey, I just wanted to say that that I have fond memories of spending time in the UW Waukesha Student Union, and your guests probably are familiar with the radio tradition that UW Waukesha had. Home, of course, of WYRE. And it's through being involved with WYRE, my DJ name was DJ Blind Faith. Now, I was not a student at UW Waukesha at the time, but this predated my Carol radio involvement. But it was a fun time because WYRE was a cable radio station. Maybe your guests have more insight onto what that was, because it's been described to me, but I don't really understand it too much. But I just wanted to say I will miss that student union, that campus center. I don't know if you all still call it the hub, but I will miss that at UW Waukesha. Yes. I'll miss the hub and all the different activities. And I got to know at that time the members of the activities coordination team and ACT, and I'm not sure what they're called now, but UW Waukesha will hold great memories for me, as it's where I got my start kind of in radio at UW Waukesha, and through Carol's radio station, of course, which is also now gone. So I just wanted to say that and get some comments from your guests on the radio station and the hub. And the hub probably looks different now than it did a few years back. But yeah, so
sounds great. Thanks so much for the call, Greg, and for sharing. Go ahead, Ron and team.
Oh, the hub is still the heartbeat of our campus, our central area, where lots of activities for student activities occur. And the ACT team is still in existence. They still organize many campus events. The ACT team has been instrumental in doing a number of holiday-themed types of activities. But the most recent thing they've done on campus is to open a thrift store for students. Everything is for free. So the students bring in items. Wow. We've got some old costume items. We've got some donations of books that faculty give, and students can peruse our thrift store and take things home and repurpose them, give them new life again. So
My son was president of ACT when he was here for his 2 years. And he said that he was super impressed with how well the students and administrators came together to create that kind of campus community feeling. He said some of his friends that went on to four-year schools were kind of teasing him that he was, you know, kind of still in high school and you come and you go. And he said, but it didn't really feel like that to him. It felt like he really was part of a community. They had things after hours, different events that they coordinated, and he made a lot of really good friends, and he was really impressed with what they were able to do. So overall, it was a great experience for him. And then he transferred down to UWM to finish up, but you know, he really missed that camaraderie that was here.
Yeah, it's the hub, and you know, they were after hours, but for the time that I was here, there was a ton of things that happened over the noon hour. And we on the campus, they actually, there were fewer classes at that noon hour, and it really gave students that time to bring together community. And so that's when, you know, the biggest activities, we did have some evening things going on, but there were many things that happened over that noon hour. And, you know, with everything, you know, most people out of class, it really lent the opportunity for everyone to participate and experience it. So that was kind of always kind of a neat thing, that noon hour. So.
Neat. Any other kind of campus spots or that were also kind of centers or unique areas for inspiration or fun? I guess as an example, when I had Joe Hoffman on the phone or on the show a while back, actually he's been on twice, former assistant fire chief, now the chief fire chief down in nearby Mount Pleasant, not far from the Radio Park Studios here, and he went to college at Eastern Kentucky, which has a statue of Daniel Boone. And during finals week, the students would go and rub Daniel Boone's foot for luck before taking their exams. And so, were there any cool spots or traditions at UWM Waukesha that are worth remembering or shouting out?
Okay, the one that comes. This is Margaret. The one that comes to mind for me is the bridge.
Oh, sure.
So we have a space that's been outside between the library and then really almost close to the hub. Anyway, so it's an outdoor space, and you know, typically you wouldn't promote smoking. However, there were in the 2000s there, when I was here as a student, 2004, there were you know, a number of folks that you know, both faculty and staff and students. And you would see like faculty and staff maybe out there, you know, taking a little smoke break, and students would, that was a common place for people to kind of chat with one another. You always saw conversations going on, and generally it wasn't faculty and staff to, you know, to each other. It was really students involved in that as well. And again, not to promote that, you know, smoking is good, but it really did, that space gave led to, I think, some great conversations.
Okay.
Given the climate, obviously, of Wisconsin, outdoor space was not frequently used, but we do have a quad space outside of the hub that we use very extensively at the beginning and the end of the year. So we have a fall fest welcome in the second week of this, each new semester, or each new year. And then we have a spring fling to kind of finish up the year in May, early May. And those are outdoor activities where we bring in
music.
Well, we have a stage for music and entertainment. We bring in dunk tanks and a giant Jenga board and other kinds of activities for students to engage in, and just tables for students to gather around and meet up with and get organized around. One of the other things that we do as part of that is an organizational fair where students can learn about all the different campus clubs that we have. We have a very rich tradition of campus-based clubs that help to get students involved and engaged on campus.
Nice.
Way back in the day in the hub, they would be playing hot card games. Sheepshead was huge. Yeah.
Sheepshead, yeah.
Huge.
Yes. We've had, over the years, in different spots on campus, certainly for the last couple of decades, groups of students that will gather and bring video games to share and play together. So there's quite a lot of that activity over the years.
Now, I heard Sheepshead, and I was reminded of a former coworker who didn't have the best college career. And I remember talking to a friend, oh, yeah, what did he major in? He said, and the friend said, I majored in Sheepshead.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, that's all great. And the campus is on a hill, you said, right? On University Avenue, 1500. Yeah. So I'm trying to envision that because it's been a while since I've been out that way.
So, location wise, we're probably one of the best kept secrets in Waukesha. People always get amazed. You're here? That's where you are? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we are on University Drive. We are just north of North High School.
So okay.
People know where North High School is in Waukesha. We are just north of that.
Yeah.
So you would look up the hill from the fields at North High School and you see our campus.
I was going to poke fun at our caller, Greg Triple G Wansnyder, because he went to Waukesha North and a proud North alumnus, and he mentioned that he didn't go to UW-Waukesha, and I was going to say that that as a rule, UW-Waukesha didn't accept Waukesha North graduates, but I know that's not true, right?
No, that's not true. Not at all.
Is it fair to say, though, that you would get a fair amount of graduates from North, South, and West, or CMH, or any of these, like, after, or do you draw maybe from further out in Waukesha County? Or?
Well, we do draw principally from Waukesha, but we are a very metropolitan campus. We draw students from Jefferson County, from Washington County, and from parts of Milwaukee County. We've had students from Franklin and Oak Creek, from the city of Milwaukee, as well as from closer suburbs, Wauwatosa and West Allis.
Sure. And would you say, were there specific programs that would draw some of these young men and women from further out?
Waukesha has not been a specific program institution. We've been a general education institution.
Okay.
And one of the phrases we use for quite a while to promote ourselves is the best place for the best start for the life you want.
Yeah.
The best start for the life you want.
And maybe that's the advantage, was that flexibility that Ann had commented on earlier. I believe it was Ann or Margaret.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
when I think of some of the friends that I went to school with, like one of them turned into an engineer, one was an actuarial math major, another was a biology teacher, I taught communication, another one's computer science. I mean, the flexibility was amazing in terms of what you could do.
You'll all appreciate this text from Greg Wansnyder, our previous caller. Triple G says, a lot of people have nicknames UW Waukesha over the years, and one of them was Harvard on the Hill. Had you heard that one before?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I've also heard the high school on the hill.
Yeah. Sure. But that's a nice accolade. So before we go, to our next break, we've been getting a lot of questions about proper disposal and recycling. In case you didn't know, the city has a disposal guide on their website. Go to waukesha-wi.gov/residents/collections/disposal-guide.php. And I can repeat that on the other side of the break. And so much more as we wrap things up with Ron Gulotta and team on UW Waukesha and Corby's Last Roar, May 2025.
your new choice. Real News. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Somehow I find myself far out of line from the ones I had drawn. Wasn't the best of paths, you could attest to that, but I'm keeping on. Turned out our games. Would our bats cross if the pain it had cost us was paid in vain? There was no
bottom. We're back on This Week in Waukesha. And that is Thanksgiving by one of my favorite bands, Poy Dog Pondering. And yes, Thanksgiving is upon us. And quick question for my guests, Ron Gulata, interim dean at UWM at Waukesha, and Margaret Millspaugh and Mitchell Moore. Any big plans for this Thanksgiving, especially this this Thanksgiving before you close the school?
No, not particularly on my end. I'm a little more busy and invested in the operations of the campus, so I don't have quite as much time as I used to have as a faculty member.
Sure.
for that. But nothing particular on my end.
Mine will be pretty quiet. I have two daughters. One of them actually attended UW Waukesha as well. They're, you know, busy with their other sides of the family this year. So we did ours a little bit early. So ours will be quiet, which is okay with me.
I'm hosting, but it's small, like 12 or 14 people.
So. Nice.
Small.
That's great. And real quick, what are you probably most thankful for about your experience, your affiliation with UWM at Waukesha?
That's kind of easy for me. My first academic stint as a professor was at a four-year institution in Kentucky. And that was a good experience. But coming here, I had the opportunity to have as office neighbors and tons of chats and tons of discussions with colleagues of other disciplines, whereas in a four-year institution, you get locked in with people in your area and you have very little contact with anyone outside. I remember at Murray State University, one year I was in charge of the college's lecture series. And one of the people I brought in, the dean said he wanted to focus on issues of the family. So I brought in an expert on the family, and after she gave her talk on the family, was chatting with some of the historians one day going up in the elevator, and they were just so amazed that this historian who gave a great history lesson on the family talked so much about sociology and community, and they were just thrown off by the fact that things cross-discipline lines. Whereas my years here in the colleges have been very immersed in that interdisciplinary approach. Chat with political scientists, philosophers, historians, biologists, and we share around a common topic. And that enriches our experiences. which also enriches the education of our students.
Excellent point. And I, Ron, what did you teach when you were a member of the faculty?
So I'm a sociologist.
Okay. Fantastic.
So I taught sociology and criminal justice courses.
Sounds great. Okay. And I know, because we're short on time, let's go to Anne and Margaret. What are you most thankful about?
I think for me, on two levels. Personally, I'm thankful for my friends. My core group of friends all started here, and we all came together. And we were all together. There was like 12 of us on last Saturday night, and we were kind of thinking about that. This would not have happened if UW Waukesha did not exist. From a professional standpoint, I'm really grateful for the students. I taught public speaking for, 25 years, and I love it when my students are giving a speech and they give me some information where I think, I never thought about it that way before. And I challenge them to challenge our ways of thinking, because we all have schemas that we like to hang on to. And that different perspective and making me look at things from more than one perspective has been a gift, because it has broadened my empathy. It has broadened my view of the world, and I'm going to really miss that.
Sounds great. And that was Anne, right?
Yep. Sorry.
Okay. All right, Margaret, you got a minute here, and we have a couple minutes left on the show.
Sure. So that's all right. I would say just to kind of further, Ron mentioned opportunity, and I would say that's what I think I'm most thankful for about my time here. I have had the opportunity to, to explore and to meet folks and really get into different things. I would have never been in the space I am if, it wasn't for UW Waukesha. I learned to play golf with colleagues here. I served on the foundation board here, and I'm able to then, support other students, help financially support students to continue on. And I've seen my own children grow from here. So really just the opportunities that were here and that continue to be here. And I hope they continue in this community in a different way. The UW Waukesha Foundation will be supporting, continuing the support in the area.
Oh, great. Even though good to hear. Okay. So Margaret Millspaugh, Ann Mitchell Moore, Ron Gugliotta, the interim dean, thanks so much for joining us today, for getting up early in the morning. I want to continue this conversation on future shows. I don't expect you to get up and go to the campus there like you have, but maybe by calling in, getting some updates. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the history of the Madrigal Dinner, and that could be a whole show, I think, if we can recruit some alumni that were part of that. That'd be a lot of fun, as well as more planning and more opportunities for Corby's Last Roar, Thursday, May 22nd, 2025, celebrating 58 years at UWM. Waukesha. James Santel is next with Amicus, a law review. And then next week, it'll be Small Business Saturday. And if my remote kit's working, we're hoping to be at Sweet Dreams in downtown Waukesha and celebrating the great opportunities that small business can provide this holiday season, great gift ideas, and so much more for our community. I want to thank our guests again, especially Ron, for putting this together. Ron Gugliotta, interim dean at UWM at Waukesha. And again, I invite participation on future shows, and we'll make it easier. Make sure everyone's got the Civic Media app. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and so is good mental health, especially in this holiday season. And if you have more memories on UWM Waukesha, I want to hear those on future shows. And so much more. I want to thank Max for all the good work he's doing. And again, thanking everybody. Go Ramila Mahagav Galer. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and see ya!
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the weekend's news, and we'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly in hour number two. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.